Town. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
And I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
Happy Friday, Richard.
Yep, Friday again. That's right. This week sped by.
Well, you know, we were joking a little bit ago before we came on the air because this morning has been completely thrown off.
Oh,
this has been
yes.
a completely different morning for us than usual because by now, usually, we've already recorded one podcast and we're getting started with the mental breakdown and our whole day was thrown off.
The biggest difference is that we normally arrive here when it's still dark.
Yeah.
I feel like one of those early morning radio hosts, you know, they arrive at 3, you know, Today Show, where they arrive at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was daylight. The sun was already up when we came in. And there were people in the office.
Yeah, it's strange.
Which is strange, right? Strange feeling. So, yes, a little bit disoriented this morning, but never fear.
Yes, but we're here. And it's been a busy week. This has been a week for me anyways. We had competitive soccer tryouts.
That's right.
So we were doing, I was busy with that most evenings this week. And of course you have all kinds of stuff and things going on.
Right.
We're going to have some changes
things
in the live
next week.
Live broadcast. Yeah. Cause we won't say too much, but you're going to be out, for a short time.
A couple of days. Stop smiling. It's a couple of days. We're going to be optimistic.
You're having a minor medical procedure.
There is
you're getting those calf implants that you've been wanting for all these years.
I had a surgery done some years. I forget what it was. Some minor thing. And I said, there is no such thing as minor surgery. When they start cutting into your body, it's a major event, no matter what.
But you're having a surgery not to get calf implants. They said that a week to recover, but you're having the surgery next Friday.
Next Friday.
So we will not be live next Friday. We're gonna record a couple of extra. I'm gonna put you to work this weekend.
We're
gonna record a few extra podcasts so that we can have them released on time.
We have some exciting topics coming up on the podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, some things that I think people are really gonna be interested in listening to and hopefully talking to us about, because one of the issues that we're going to be discussing in our next Paideia podcast is an issue to most parents.
A lot
of controversy surrounding it. So give you that tantalizing little tidbit.
Yeah,
and,
spoiler.
We'll do that next
week. And, you know, and we're working to expand some of our things because I had a very nice message from a listener the other day who really enjoys the podcast, but he doesn't listen to it on iTunes or on Google Play Music. He listens to it on another one that I had never heard of, and I can't even remember the name of it now. I've got us now on SoundCloud. I just have to put in the backlog of all the previous podcasts and stuff.
When I talk to my teenagers, they talk about these programs that they listen to.
Yeah.
They're not iTunes. It's other stuff that they're turning into.
There's just so many.
But we'll keep expanding.
We will keep expanding. And we'll just keep trying to churn out information so that people can hopefully benefit and see some improvements and things for them. So,
But you're busy now with soccer, too. Soccer season starts again, doesn't it?
Yeah, it ended last week, so it started back this week. That's the way that it...
Oh, really?
That's the way it goes.
Oh, so this is just a little break.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was longer than that.
Yeah, but you know what? Well, we did start, those of you who subscribe, I started recording those mini-episodes that we've been talking about.
That's right.
And so those have been... I've done about four of those, and we release them throughout the week. And hopefully those are helpful. So if you have any questions or if you have a topic that you'd like for us to discuss specifically, even if it's a real specific topic, we're trying to find different ways to get that information out there for you guys. So it could be helpful.
Right.
But
what's today?
Today's topic. I tell you, I really struggled.
You've been messing around with this one all week.
I really struggled with the title of this one.
Tantalizing little tidbits. you've sort of been leaking this a little bit at a time.
I've been struggling with the title because I knew what I wanted to talk about, but I've been struggling with the title because, I've been doing this theme where we use a title that's a quote from a movie because, we talked about that last time. So one of the things, the important topic that I think we should talk about is self-talk and the way that we process and structure and frame the way that we view ourselves.
Right. because the way sometimes we talk to ourselves,
yeah,
about ourselves,
right,
right,
and some of the things that we do that really are not very healthy for us,
right.
And so, you know, of course, the first thing that comes to my mind is that scene in Liar Liar when Jim Carrey's in the bathroom beating himself up, and the guy walks in and looks at him, and he's like, "I'm kicking my, do you mind?" And that's, you know, I really wanted to title it that, but I'm being cautious not to use words that could be offensive to anyone or anything
right.
like that.
Yeah, so. We don't have FDIC regulations.
We don't.
Federal regulations, but...
Wait, FDIC is banking, right?
Oh, yeah. What is it?
FCC.
FCC.
We don't have the banking regulations either.
We have no banking to worry about. But FCC, yes, FCC regulations. But we do want to be sensitive to our listeners. And so the word that you left out here...
Yeah.
Is also an animal that one might ride.
Right. Oh, I could have done that. I could have said, I'm kicking my donkey. Do you mind?
Kicking my little donkey.
Yeah.
That's right.
I could have done that. Well, but we just call it, I'm kicking myself. Do you mind? Because we have a tendency, oftentimes, and some people more so than others, we have a tendency to really beat ourselves up.
Right.
And we tend to highlight the negative things from our life and minimize the positive things in our life. And, you know, we wrote an article some time ago that positivity begets positivity.
Right.
And what we were trying to convey in that is that, you know, when you put positivity out, when you think positively, when you act positively, positive things come back to you. Well,
right.
The opposite is true, too. When everything is negative, all you're going to see is negative. It's that self-fulfilling prophecy or that affirmation theory where you're looking for or confirmation bias. You're looking for things
right.
to confirm how you feel about yourself, and you're going to find it. Even if it's not real, you're going to
right.
find it.
Right.
And so that's what I thought we would kind of highlight today in today's podcast.
Right.
So,
and it comes under that heading of you don't find truth, you create it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really true.
Right.
We think that, well, I have to discover how I feel. No, you create how you feel.
Right.
I like that. It took me a long time to get to this reality.
Right.
Because I used to, when I was younger, much younger, teenager, and you tend to be a little bit sullen when you're younger, haven't figured things out. And you tend to be, you tend to have this feeling that people who are happy are successful.
Right.
They're happy because they're successful.
Right.
And then as you get older, you say, well, maybe they're successful because they're happy.
Right.
You know? And I used to think, do you remember The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson? Are you old enough to remember that? Were
yeah.
you allowed to stay up in those
years? Yeah, no, not old enough. But I've seen the reruns on YouTube.
Which is so bizarre to me that you watch reruns of Johnny Carson. And you used to watch those people, and they were all of his guests were happy and upbeat and excited and everything. And I'm like, well, of course they are, because they have a movie contract or a movie deal
right.
or they just won a sports championship. So of course they're happy. Then I got to thinking as I got older and learned more about this stuff that, no, maybe they're successful because they had the right attitude.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's what you're talking about this morning.
Yeah.
Creating.
And you know, part of this... idea or the part of this issue came to me, you know, as far as thinking about for a podcast over the last couple of weeks, because the thing that, you know, what are we always on? We're always on social media,
mm-hmm.
and we all have those people that post to our pages, to our walls, that are, if you look at their series of posts, I don't know that they're ever happy. It's every day it's something negative. Every day it's I'm sick with this. Every day it's I'm sick with that. Every day it's, you know, I'm over this. I'm this. And when you read their post, you got to be thinking, man, this person.
Are there people who do? See, I'm not a big Facebooker.
You're not.
Is that a person who uses Facebook?
Yeah, I don't.
Facebook.
I don't know if that's the.
Okay, so it's not a noun, like.
I don't think so.
But people actually post all that negative
stuff? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
They post it on Facebook, on you know, you'll see it on Twitter. You'll see it on all Instagram, everywhere. And the problem is that when you look back at their series of posts,
mm-hmm.
you see this negative, and you think, oh my gosh, this person, what is going on? And so you're left with this impression that this person is, you know, is always struggling, is always having a hard time. And again, at least I began to wonder how much of that is just how much of it is attention seeking, because that certainly is true, is a possibility. Right. Mm-hmm. But then how much of it too is you're seeing all this negative about yourself because it really seems like that's the only thing you're looking for. I mean, that seems like the only thing that you're trying to get.
If that's what you expect to find, that's what you're going to find.
Right.
Or
right.
If everything is kind of the glass half empty, or is the glass
right,
half full?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
I didn't know that people did that, that there would be this theme, this thread
right.
running through your Facebook. Because normally I think of Facebook as, well, we're having dinner at this place, or we're on vacation, or we're out having fun. Aren't you jealous of us?
People listening to this are just banging their heads that you say those kinds of things. because no, it's not used that way. I mean, some people use it for those purposes, but many people, they use it as a diary. Many people use it as a this is just a running theme of a running series of events through my day, and this is what I'm doing. And some people, you know exactly where they are at every minute of the day because of the way that they post, and not just Facebook, but on some of the other forms of social media. So it's fascinating. But again, the idea is that we tend to get into these positions, and granted, some people are more prone to this than others. We get into these positions where we constantly focus on negative. And it's almost as though we don't see any of the positive. So, you know, we see this a lot in people with depression,
right.
People who are severely depressed. We will see these kinds of negative self-impressions, negative self-talk, and those kinds of things. And so we use things like cognitive behavioral therapy to help shift some of those perspectives. And what we notice is that when you're working with, at least initially, when you're working with a depressed person, and you, one of the things we'll do is start to highlight those, what we'll call cognitive distortions. We call them cognitive distortions because they're not true. They're distortions of reality. Right. So, you know, oh, I messed up on this. I always mess up. Well, you don't always mess up. It's you're overgeneralizing. You're making it a universal self-impression, as opposed to just thinking that that was one specific incident. Mm-hmm. But so we see that a lot in depressed patients. And when we first start working with them, they're very resistant to these ideas, even the examples, the very concrete examples that you give them of, no, you know, last week when we met, you seemed to feel pretty good. Do you remember that? Do you remember, you know, how you accomplished this? Or do you remember this, you know, new great thing that just happened, you know, a couple weeks ago? And it's almost as though, when we talk to this person, it's almost as though they don't even remember that.
Well, you know, it reminds me of a patient I had years ago who he was around midlife, maybe in his 30s or 40s. And he had done some things when he was younger that he wasn't particularly proud of, you know, that he shouldn't have done, took advantage of some people and didn't kill anybody. But I mean, he did some things that... And one day...
I like how you went, like, that was the bad thing. He didn't kill anybody.
Well, no, I mean, I don't want... he didn't rob bank. He wasn't a criminal, you know. He was just... like many of us... Some of the things that he did, he wasn't in his teenage and early 20s. You know, when you're sort of rowdy and you do some things that you regret or that you're sorry for.
Hooligans.
Hooliganism. Yeah. And so he was coming in because he had started to turn his life around. And one of the days we were sitting there and he said, well, I'm a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to... He was beating himself up.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm a bad person. And it struck me that he saw himself that way, because by the time he had seen me, he had started to really turn his life around.
Right.
Yes, he had made some mistakes in the past, but he was in a very different place when he was in his early 40s.
Right.
You know, that was behind him.
Right.
And I said to him one day, as he was saying, because he would keep repeating this thing, well, I'm a bad person, I should be punished, I'm a bad person. You know, and I said, wait a minute, you used to be.
Right.
At one time in your life, maybe. But I said, when was the last time you did anything like that? And he started going back, and they, well, it's been a couple of years. I said, well, then you're no longer a bad person.
Right.
But he kept telling, that was the story, his little autobiography that he was telling himself, that he's a bad person.
Right.
And he was making decisions based on that self-concept.
Right. Right.
That definition of himself. And he was getting himself into more trouble because right. of how he defined himself.
Well, and let's put that in contrast to other people that we know who have had really bad things happen in their life. They were really successful, but then they got caught up in something that led to, you know, being sent to prison or really, really awful things happening to them. And then they come out of that, and instead of saying, oh, I'm a bad person, you know, this is what happened, I'm now a felon, I'm now this, I'm now that, you know, this person, you know, these people go out and they begin missions to help mm-hmm. other people avoid those kinds of issues and those kinds of problems that led to their issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all begins with your mindset.
Right. And it goes back to that. And we've talked about this person before, William Glasser.
Yeah.
The famous psychiatrist who, and that was his point, all of his professional career. And he would say, you know, this whole business about being depressed, it's not a medical issue. It's not something that we have to, it's a way people define themselves and the way they talk to themselves. And it's what you do about your life circumstances. It's not what happens to you. It's what you do in response to what happens to you.
Exactly.
We all have reasons to be disappointed.
Right.
I mean, most of us encounter difficulties along the way. But some people take those things and turn them into something positive, and others just bathe in the negative.
Right.
Thomas Edison who said, well, yeah, but I know it. When he was working on the light bulb, it was failure after failure
right.
after failure. And he said, well, but I know 1,000 things that don't work.
Right.
You know, so that's success for him.
Right.
You know?
So right.
That's how you look at the world.
Let's talk a little bit about what the cascade of events that happens when we have this negative self-image, because I think that it's a brief cascade, but it's important because we don't really think about it this way, or people tend to not think about it this way. But if you view yourself negatively, if mm-hmm. you view yourself as a bad person, if you view yourself as unworthy, if you view yourself as always sick, as always less than, as always subordinate to everyone else, think about the decisions that you will make as a result of that.
Right.
If you consistently view yourself as subordinate or less than, what is the likelihood that you're going to put yourself out there for a challenging job?
Right.
Probably not very good.
I'm going to.
What is the likelihood of you putting yourself out there to meet new people or to try to begin a new relationship? Or to get a relationship with a person that is going to help you along life's path in a positive direction? Mm-hmm. How likely are you to potentially use substances or seek substances that may help numb those feelings and take those feelings away from you for at least a little while?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that when we have these persistent negative self-impressions, it's going to influence all of your decisions. So, again, if we just run this through in a very quick example, you know, you view yourself negatively. You view yourself as not being worthy, not being as good as other people. You're going to go get a job at a place that you're probably not very happy because you're going to be underemployed. You're probably not going to use the skills that you really have because you don't want to put yourself out there, because even though you have the skills, you don't see yourself as being good enough to put yourself out there for these more thought-provoking, challenging positions. And so you're going to take a job that where you're underemployed. That's going to increase your frustration and your depression because, oh, yeah, see, here we go again. All I'm good at is, you know, being able to have this kind of job or that kind of job. And so that's going to perpetuate this negative self-impression. You're going to be working at, you know, one of these types of places that where you're underemployed, and that's going to limit the people that you're exposed to. That's going to limit your other opportunities. And it just continues to mount and mount and mount.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working with a guy now who's in his 20s, and good-looking guy, could be a model. I mean, really, he's really a nice-looking guy. And when he was younger, I guess people talked to him about, you know, you should go into modeling. He comes in every week and talks about, no, I'm just not good looking. I don't have this, and I'm doing that, and I don't have the right hair and my eyebrows. And he's picking himself apart all the time. And sure enough, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because now he's not taking care of himself properly. So now he does look like he's unkempt,
right,
and has poor hygiene. He's still the same person. I mean, he still has the same good looks. But because he's not taking care of
right.
himself, he's starting to look less handsome, less good-looking,
right.
less of, you know. And so it does become a self-fulfilling prophecy. He keeps telling himself that, and sure enough, that's how he starts to look.
Right, because, I mean, if you feel like nobody appreciates you,
right.
you don't do anything to make anybody appreciate you.
That's right.
It is that catch-22 cycle that
yeah.
we get in.
I look at this guy and I think, if you took him into a spa somewhere, you know, did one of those makeovers, you know, those
right.
beauty makeovers, he would be a completely different person. He would look completely differently if,
right.
if he went in and just changed hair and cleaned up and shaved and did everything. He would be a good-looking young man.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
But he sees himself as something else. He defines himself as something else. That's what you mean by distorted
right.
reality.
Exactly.
He has distorted the reality.
Exactly. So with that being the case, with this groundwork set, you know, this is what we have. Let's talk a little bit about some things that we can do to overcome this. To battle this.
I love the word do.
Yeah.
Who was it, Yoda, who said try it or do?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. See, folks, it's so challenging sometimes. You know, I really try. He said do or do not. There is no try.
Right. And so you have to, because this whole thing about, I have to pause here for a moment. It's a little bit of a tangent.
You kill me.
This whole thing about cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
Self-talk. You mentioned
yes.
self-talk.
Yes.
I didn't buy that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I could, you can talk to yourself about it, but just talking to yourself about it isn't going to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something about it.
Right.
So I'm glad we're getting to do, because
right.
I don't think, I mean, I can sit here and say, well, I can talk to myself about being something, but that doesn't get it accomplished. What
right.
gets it accomplished is you have to do something.
Right.
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 And that's why I always had trouble with cognitive behavioral therapy, because I thought, well, just talking to myself about this isn't going to change anything. I still have to do something.
Right.
You know, I can't say I want to be a physician. I would have to take courses and pass them.
Right.
You know, I have to do something about it. So I'm glad we're getting to the verb do.
Right. Because you're right. And, you know, that's the challenge with cognitive behavioral therapy, is that you have to, you know, you have to build the cognitive things, the cognitive ideas and thoughts
right.
and self-talk. But then you have to do it.
Then you have to do something about
you
it.
You have to do
right.
something about it.
Right.
So there's a couple of things that we try with patients to help with these kinds of things. The first is making some. Let me start with this. This is going to take some intent, because
to change is
right,
going to take okay.
If you're this type of person, the type of person that we're talking about that
right.
has that negative self-image that tends to tilt in that direction,
mm-hmm.
Or if your significant other or your child is that right. type of person. It's going to require some intent. It's going to require some effort to change that, because your default, see, my default personally, and it makes people frustrated sometimes, my default is positive. I tend to see the positive side of most things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I don't know if that was because of that.
Do you know why?
No. I don't know if that was because of how I was raised or just my temperament or what, but that's just my default.
Because I worry a little bit about that. Not, I don't worry about your
uh-huh.
setting or about you being positive, but I worry about, is the opposite true? You know, can a person have that Eeyore?
Right.
We talk about Eeyore. Can a person have that negative temperament just as a person has a positive temperament?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think so, and I think that some of the people that we may be talking about may be like that.
It would be more difficult for them.
Absolutely, and that's why I said this is going to require effort. You're going to have to put some effort into it.
To get to do.
Right,
okay.
Because while some people find it very easy,
mm-hmm.
if you found it really easy, you would probably already be doing it.
Yeah, because I'm not arrogant, or I don't think I'm arrogant or proud. I don't have a lot of, but I can figure out how to make some, how to do something.
Right.
You know, but a lot of people don't have that feeling.
Right.
That I can figure this out and I can get it done.
Well,
they sort of just stop.
Well, and again, if we think about what we've been talking about, if you already have a negative self-image about yourself, your feelings about your ability to succeed at making these changes is probably going to be pretty negative as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, it's going to require some effort. So, right. So know that going in. It's not going to be, oh, I just got to flip this switch and everything will be fine.
I just have to talk myself into
right.
it.
Right.
No,
It's going to take some deliberate, which right. means that you may have to plan it, which means you may have to set an alarm on your phone to do some of these things. Mm-hmm. You may have to keep a notebook where you keep track of some of this stuff, but it's going to take some intent. So the first thing that I think is very helpful for people to sort of start to overcome this is making deliberate attempts to find something positive. And so what I mean by that is, if we think about the person who posts on Facebook, and mm-hmm. you know, there are people who post on not just Facebook, but any of the social media. If you're the type of person that posts frequently on that, I want you to make deliberate attempts every day to make several posts that are positive, several positive posts.
You know, come up with find something somewhere.
Right. And even if, you know, it just has to be a smidge in that direction. So even if it is not feeling as bad today as I did yesterday, you know what? That is moving in the right direction. It's not where we want to be eventually, but it's moving in the right direction. Watched a great movie today. You know, something positive. We need to just start moving in that direction, because if we don't, you're going to stay stuck there, because it's like we said before, it's just going to keep perpetuating over and over again. And so you have to start making some deliberate attempts to make a positive statement about yourself. Some people do that in the mornings with positive affirmations. You know, their alarm goes off in the morning, and instead of laying there saying, oh my gosh, I don't want to get out of bed. Right. Instead of doing that, you say, okay, today's going to be a really good day. Today's going to be better than yesterday. I got a lot of stuff to do, but it's going to be a great day. You know, making those kinds of positive self-statements to get yourself going on a positive a positive foot, on a good step. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to get started. So making deliberate attempts to think positively, just a couple times a day. You know, start with a couple times a day, and then expand it and do it a couple more times a day. Then
so
a couple more times
a day.
What
can I do? What can I do today to make things better? Mm-hmm. What can I do today to make my life better, to be happier, to be more productive?
Right.
So it's an effortful process.
Right. Okay. Right. And one way to do that, and the second recommendation, it's a little bit more formalized with it, is actually a strategy that we use with parents, and it's called the 5-to-1 ratio.
Right.
And so what you need to do is, for everything that you say negative about yourself, you have to find 5 positive things to say.
Boy, some people would have a hard time with that.
They would. Even though there's plenty of positive things to say about yourself, you would really have a hard time.
But I see some people who are in their 20s mm-hmm. who really struggle with that.
They just don't
see anything positive about themselves.
Right. And what's really sad is that we see positive things about them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can see, even if it's, you wake up in the morning and you think, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Today is going to be an awful day.
Okay, oh my God,
your negative.
Right.
There's
I have to negative. Face it again today.
But you know what? I got out of bed. There's a positive. You know
I'm
what?
I'm alive.
I brushed my teeth. There's a positive. I'm alive. I'm breathing. My heart's still working. You know, all of those are positive things, because you know what? There are some people in the world that can't get out of bed.
And you know, you tease me about my AGE. That which shall not be named.
What does that spell?
You know. Oh. Now, you tease me about my age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I can say is it's better than the alternative.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
I mean, I can just squeeze some positive out of that.
That's right. No, you're absolutely right. And But we need more people to do that. Right. We need more people to say, you know, heck yeah, you know, today mm-hmm. I'm feeling good today because I can walk.
Yeah, I'm old, but I'm still here.
That's right.
So that's a positive.
Yeah, and
I can see people, and I call people, and mm-hmm. I can call my son, or I can, you know, okay.
Right. So the 5-to-1 ratio, and it. You know, if it's too difficult, you don't have to start with 5.
Right.
You can start out 3-to-1, 2-to-1.
2-to-1. Right.
Whatever it takes. Just again, move in the direction of forcing yourself to look at the positive attributes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because what you're doing right now is those positive attributes are there. You're just ignoring them.
You're ignoring them.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have to force yourself, and that's why I said this is going to take work. That you have to force yourself to acknowledge those positive attributes, mm-hmm. Because you're not going to see them otherwise. Your attention is not going to focus on them because your attention is so accustomed to focusing on the negative that that's all it sees. So you have to force yourself to look at some of those positive things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the third thing, and this is something that I like to do with people who tend to be more episodic in these feelings, people who, you know, struggle with depression.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so people who, you know, they feel good for a while, but then that they get back down in that, mm-hmm. right? One of the things I like to do is when you're in a positive mood, when you're feeling pretty good, mm-hmm. write a letter to yourself. Write a letter to your depressed self, you know, dear depressed Dr. Richard. Just wanted to write to you today because, man, today's a great day. I'm feeling really good today. I got so much done, and I know that you're feeling really bad right now. I know that you're depressed right now. I know that you're seeing all these negative things about yourself. But also know that it's gonna get better. And list some of those positive things about yourself.
When you're depressed or when you're...
When you're feeling good.
Oh, when you're feeling good.
When you're feeling good.
Write those positive thoughts down.
Right.
Put them up somewhere. Post
yeah,
them
absolutely.
On the mirror.
Somewhere that you're going to
fridge.
See them.
Okay.
And so that the next time you're depressed.
Right.
So first of all, even when you're feeling good, you're going to see it. And you're going to be like, that's right. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But when you start getting down, you're going to see that and read it. And it's going to remind you that, okay, mm-hmm. it does get better.
Right.
Because like I said before, many times these people who are more episodic in their self-image and self-evaluation, they have a hard time remembering what it was like when they felt better.
When you're down, it's hard to conjure up these more positive feelings.
Right.
Okay, so when you are up, when you are feeling good, go ahead and write them down, put them up, post them somewhere
mm-hmm.
as reminders
right.
for those days when you are going to be struggling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good idea.
Absolutely. So it's a message to you from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can, you know, it's one thing for somebody else to say, no, remember, we just, you were feeling right. great last week, because you won't, it'll be hard to remember that. But if it's coming from yourself,
right.
You know, some people, I met one guy who took that actually to the next level, and he did a video of himself talking mm-hmm. to his depressed self.
Right.
And so that his depressed self could actually see how he was doing and see mm-hmm. how much more positive he felt. And so it was really effective for him. So,
good idea.
So deliberate attempts to right. find positive. Mm-hmm. The 5-to-1 ratio. Mm-hmm. The third one is writing a letter to yourself. And the last thing, well, the last thing is getting help.
Right.
All right. If you, whether you're depressed or not,
mm-hmm.
if you have this negative self-image of yourself, get some help. You know, don't wallow.
Stay there, right?
You know, don't
marinate. We used that word marinate last week,
right?
Don't marinate in that negative stuff,
because all it does is it seeps deeper and deeper,
right?
And it's much more difficult to get rid of.
And as we've said many times, the brain gets good at what it does repeatedly.
Right.
So if you're marinating in negativity, your brain is going to get good at that.
Right.
It's the way our brains work.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so as you keep doing it, and just like mm-hmm. your brain is going to automatically attend to those negative things about yourself,
right.
if that's what you're focusing on, all of these other things, all of the, if your brain is accustomed to it, it's just going to stick to doing it.
You know, I have a boy, 22 or 23 years old, and that's what he does. He sort of marinates in the negative stuff. I mean, he spends a lot of time talking about his negative, the negative aspects of his body and of his life. And I'm thinking, man, his brain is getting finely tuned to the negative.
Right.
Because that's what he keeps, that's the tape that he keeps playing. And those are the pathways that his brain is building.
Right.
So every time he opens up his brain or activates his brain, those the biggest pathways for him, the most efficient pathways, are negative pathways.
Right, right. And we see
this. I have to talk to him about that.
We see this in so many other other things that it only makes sense that it happens. It happens here also.
Right.
And it only makes sense that it happens with our self-image and everything else. I mean, abuse. Abuse happens that way. When you've been repeatedly abused, that those pathways become emblazoned.
That becomes your default
setting. And that's just, you just expect it.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. You expect to be taken advantage of. You expect to be abused. Mm-hmm. And so this is the same way, only you're the abuser. You're abusing yourself. And so
you're kicking your own donkey.
That's right.
This is what they mean. So this brings a whole new dimension to the idea of he's his own worst enemy.
Right.
You know, when we hear that phrase all the time, this is an important aspect of that that stereotype.
Yeah. You're really kicking yourself when you're down because, and you know, sometimes, you know, the tough thing, and from a therapeutic perspective, the tough thing is sometimes you have to get very overt with patients about it. You know, I've worked with patients before, and I just had to say, man, you are destroying yourself. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
That's what this 22-year-old is doing.
And for those who can hear that, you know, certainly you don't do that to people who can't hear it. You know, you have to know your patient and know the people that you're working with. But for those who hear it, sometimes that kicks them out of it, and they say, wait a minute, okay, so maybe I am. Maybe I am really just being way too difficult for myself, really too hard on myself.
Right.
Because we are sometimes.
Yeah.
We're overly critical of ourselves. We're much more critical of ourselves than we are of other people, usually.
Right.
So if you do those four things, though, if you try those four things, the deliberate attempt to find positive and post positive, get positive out there, the 5-to-1 ratio, writing a letter to yourself and getting help. And the help doesn't have to be professional help necessarily.
Right.
It just has to be somebody to say, you know, hey, this is how I'm feeling about myself right now. Is that realistic?
Right.
You know, am I really evaluating myself well?
Somebody who's
going to
be honest with you.
Right.
You know, I mean, we need, you know, talk to somebody who will tell you the truth.
Right.
Right. Because you want it to be a reality too. So.
Right. So you want to make sure that you get that. And so because your thoughts, the way that you feel about yourself, really do influence and create your reality. That connection is becoming more and more for me as I keep reading about different things. And I was reading about quantum physics earlier this week. Did I tell
that's
you that?
Too bad.
Oh, those people are.
That's another world.
That's another world.
Right.
Literally, it's another world.
Right.
But. The article that I was reading was talking about there is no reality until you perceive it.
Right.
And they
chew
had
on that for a while.
Man.
No, it's a wave and a particle.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole world out there that
yeah.
I have a young man we meet regularly, and he has a knowledge of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I just, it's just beyond.
Yeah, I can't remember if I posted it on our Facebook page or not, but I read that
and
you wouldn't know because you don't ever go to Facebook. But
I might commit myself to Facebook. I might have to. You might have to give me a tutorial.
That's only the fifth time you've said that this week. But that paper was amazing because to me, what that means, I think, from a psychological perspective, is that. We can take what's happening to us, and depending on the lens through which we look at it, we can frame it completely differently. You know, people do that naturally. You know, we have those people, we all know those people who experience something and you think, how in the world did he experience that and now he's acting like that? That doesn't even make sense. His perception of what happened is just different than your perception of what mm-hmm. happened. Mm-hmm. And so if we can take that same perspective, that same quantum physics theory, and apply it psychologically, whatever you feel about yourself is based upon your perception. All we have to do is shift your perspective. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is shift a little bit the way that you perceive yourself. And if we can do that, it will change your reality. It'll change everything about you and your life. Man, look at that. Sounds like a motivational speaker.
No, I think about teenagers. Because this is a little bit easier for adults. But I think about teenagers who don't have a lot of self-efficacy. You know, they just haven't done enough. Most teenagers
right.
haven't done enough, or most high school students, I'd say, haven't done enough to have a very strong sense of self-efficacy that mm-hmm. I can, okay? But when you think about, let's think about one of the most difficult, making an athletic team.
Right.
You know, you try out for an athletic team and you don't, cheerleading, soccer. Baseball, soccer, foot, you know, you try out for the team and you don't make it. You're mm-hmm. told you're just not good enough.
Right.
Okay. That can be a devastating blow to a person.
Right.
To your ego, to your mm-hmm. sense of self-worth, your self-esteem, that you're being told now that you just don't have what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way of looking at it.
Right.
The other way of looking at it is, okay, I'm not going to play soccer,
mm-hmm.
but there's a whole world out there of other activities that right. you can pursue.
Right.
So the goal now is, now you have to find those other activities.
Right. Well, and still another way to look at it is, okay, now I know where the bar's set. That's where I need to get.
That's right.
So you
true.
Turn it into a motivation to
so
raise your
you
game.
So if you want to be a soccer player, mm-hmm. say, these are the skills that you need,
right.
then go out and develop those skills.
That's a great point. And it ties into this because, you know, how many times have we met people? How many people do you know who say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a professional football player. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do you play? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't play.
Right.
Well, you know, you're 15 years old. Mm-hmm. You have to be playing somewhere now if you think right. you're going to play. Oh, well, no, this one guy, you know, he didn't start playing until he was in college. Mm-hmm. And that's one guy.
But he was playing all other kind of sports.
Right. Okay. And yeah, I'm sure he was doing lots of other things.
And I read a thing this morning about John Elway. You know, first yeah. signed with the New York Yankees to play baseball
right.
before he went to play football.
Right.
But he was obviously had developed his athletic abilities.
Right, you know. Right. So if you want to accomplish those things, you have mm-hmm. to begin down that path.
I like the idea of knowing where the bar is.
Right.
I hadn't thought about that because my daughter's sort of doing that with tennis right now.
Yeah.
Is, okay, this is where you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's beginning to pursue that. So it was, that's exactly what happened to her.
Right.
She found out where it was and said, okay, now I know what I have to do.
Right.
So instead of saying, because what most of us do, and especially teenagers who have fragile egos to begin with, mm-hmm. or at least unknown egos,
right.
Will say to them, well, I'm a failure.
Right.
I'm a loser.
Right.
No, you're not a loser. You just aren't at this level yet.
Right.
But if you want to get there, here's the path.
Right.
Here's what you have to do. Are you willing to do that?
Right. Yeah, one of the great things that came out of this past week when we had our competitive soccer tryouts is one of the players, I got an email from one of the players who made the B team. He didn't make the A team. And his email to me was, I'm really happy to be on the B team. But can you let me know what I need mm-hmm. to build if I want to try for the A team next time?
Perfect.
That, and from a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is
so he
maturity.
Gets it. He gets it.
Right. He understands because what he's saying is I'm not going to take this as a shot. I'm
right.
not going to take this as a indication that I'm not worthy.
That's right.
He's taking it instead of, that's where is the bar? Because that's my target. That's
right.
my goal. And people who have this repetitive, negativistic view of themselves, when they continue repeatedly to only verbalize and identify these negative things about themselves, All they do is keep pushing themselves down because, and it makes the bar look farther and farther and farther away. I mean, you know, when you, it's one thing to think a negative thought about yourself. It's another thing to say it out loud.
Right.
And it's still yet another thing to put it out on social media. I mean, we're talking about a level, levels rising that's pretty astounding. I mean, you know, if I have a negative thought about myself and I just think about it, I'm the only one that experiences that. If I say it out loud right now, well, I mean, except for the people listening, you're going to hear that. And it's just between you and I. But if I post that on Facebook and I have, you know, 500 followers, 1,000 followers, now 500 people know that. And then they're going to comment on it. And so now their friends are going to potentially, so now you have this almost a logarithmic expansion.
This network of.
Of people who, oh, she's feeling bad again.
Right.
He's
right.
feeling bad again.
Network just, of negativity.
It just continues to grow. It's viral. And so you have to watch that. You can't allow yourself to fall into that. Just it's just a like a perpetual motion.
It does.
Machine.
It's a self-perpetuating thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Right.
So try those things. Try if you're at a position where you can identify that about yourself, or if your significant other or a friend or a loved one has that tendency, encourage some of these strategies to them, that the deliberate attempts to find a positive or post a positive or verbalize a positive, the 5-to-1 ratio. Try, you know, 5 positives, at least 2 or 3 positives to every negative that you say. Writing a letter to yourself when you're feeling better, you know, during those times when you feel good, write a letter to your depressed self, your down self, and then get that help. You know, talk to some other people, say, yeah, you know, am I evaluating myself okay, or am I way off base here?
You know, you said a little while ago that we're harder on ourselves than we are on other people.
Yeah.
And it's true, because unless you're furious with somebody, you would never ever say, well, you're really a loser.
Right.
You really do. You really are worthless.
Right.
It's just not how we talk to each other.
Yeah.
But that's how we talk to ourselves.
Absolutely.
We say to ourselves what we would never dream. The only time you would say something like that to somebody else is during a verbal argument or a fight.
Right.
You know, that you're a loser or you're intoxicated.
And we do that in passing. Think about it. You know, God, I'm so stupid.
Right.
Would you ever...
I would never walk by you and say, God, Bernie, you're so stupid. You don't do that
right.
to anybody else.
Right. Well, you did the other day. You
you deserved it.
If we do it in joking, though.
That's right.
When we say it to ourselves, we're very serious.
But we're serious.
And so we have to... Again,
yeah, if you wouldn't say it to somebody else, you probably shouldn't say it to yourself.
Right. Yeah.
It's a good rule of thumb.
It's a good rule of thumb, yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay.
All right, anything else? Few announcements.
Announcements.
Few announcements. The handbook for raising an emotionally healthy child, part 1.
It's out there. Part 2 is in progress, and you're going to be really happy with part 2.
Yeah, we're really excited to get that out there to you guys.
Completely revised part 2, and it's looking really, really good.
Yeah, we're excited about it. But part 1 is already out there. It's on Kindle and Nook. The links to it, to both of those sources, are in the show notes. So we encourage you to check that out. The same with the Elimination Diet Manual.
Right.
Man, Richard, I've been reading so much about the influence and the relationship of diet with mental health. Read about microRNA 155 this morning, you know, and its relationship to Alzheimer's and what they're calling leaky brain. It's, oh man, it's fascinating stuff.
We're going to be doing some more work in that area.
We got to talk more about that.
Right.
So, but the Elimination Diet Manual is out there. It is also on Kindle and Nook. The links to it are in the show notes. Check that out, because that, I think that you will find that to be a very useful resource to look at your diet and see what's going on and what could be affecting your health, or how it could be affecting your health.
Yeah, that whole issue of the immune system, you know, the inflammation and the immune system and just your general state of health as it relates. I was talking to a family the other day, and they're they've had their child tested for food allergies, and nothing came back. But they're convinced that when he eats certain things, it affects him negatively.
Right.
And so we're thinking now in terms of sensitivities rather than allergic reaction. It's not a full-blown allergic reaction, but it is a sensitivity to certain foods.
Yeah.
So his parents are very excited about the possibility of ruling out some of those things that seem to affect him negatively.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So check that out. Those who have used it have found it very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I found it very helpful. So if you have questions about it, let us know. The last thing is the Udemy course.
All right.
I've recorded and posted about half of the videos, which is a big accomplishment.
Half.
Yeah, it's a big project. What I'm considering and going to be getting in touch with Udemy about doing is going ahead and launching it, getting it out there so people can start watching and seeing what's out there already. You would pay for the course now, but as I add more videos and stuff, you would just get those for free.
Mm-hmm.
And you have unlimited forever access to those,
mm-hmm.
As well as some other resources and things like that. So do encourage you to check that out. If I'm able to do that and able to get it launched with about half, after this weekend I'll have over half of the videos posted. We will be posting on YouTube, or not YouTube, Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that about that availability. We'll give you a code that you can put in so you can write to it, and that'll be great. So hopefully that's the Udemy course on raising your ADHD child.
Mm-hmm.
Really excited about that. So anything else?
I'm trying to think of what else is coming up. And no, I think we're in good shape. The book is coming along. Part two is really, really coming along fine.
Great.
The Udemy course.
Yeah, that's everything, I think.
The diet manual. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you listen to us on iTunes, please write a review or rate us just to help get the word out a little bit more. If you listen to us on other sources, other apps, let us know what they are.
Let us know what they are.
Because I don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
We're on SoundCloud now, like I said.
Right.
I'm trying to figure that out. SoundCloud is a little bit different, and I'm trying to understand that. We are on Google Play Music, so you can check us out there. So we try to be everywhere. Write to us if you have any questions.
Keep communicating. We're getting some good feedback.
Good questions.
From some of our listeners.
Yeah.
And we really, really appreciate that. So any questions you have, any comments you have, any disagreements you have, let us know what they are.
Yeah, because we'll have the, if you have specific questions, like I said, we'll be doing the brief podcast that we'll be releasing during the weeks. We'll be happy to answer those too.
And the other thing, I think we've mentioned this before, if there are topics that you want us to talk about, please let us know, because we can put things together in a hurry. The two of us can look that stuff up. And if there are certain things you want to know about, or you want to know more about, or you want to have a discussion about, please let us know what those topics are, and we'll be happy to discuss them.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely. So. Sounds great. So, all right. Well, then.
It's Friday. It's still Friday.
It's still Friday.
All right.
Thank goodness it's Friday. Only two more days to work this week. And then
two more work days.
all right. So until next week, I'm Dr. Bernie.
And I'm Dr. Richard.
Have a terrific weekend. A good week next week. Last week of school.
Oh, that's right. Last week of school.
And we will see you next time.
So, and forget
to be afraid.